it says as long as you don't weigh over 150, you can play with it, so.
Well, looks like I'm out. There's lots of disco and lots of topless dancing in this. It's some fucking great graphics.
Oh, uh-oh. What's going on, Leela?
Nothing. I'm just giving you shit.
Oh, okay.
She's giving us shit. She said shit.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you, Cyber Leader. Cyber Leela Leela. Cyber Leela.
Oh, God.
Cyber Leela. Come on. Have a little fun with it. Have a little fun with it.
Since she's big into going to Costco and having strangers push her down aisles and inflatable balls, it's weird. This is what I'm calling
snow
you.
People.
Snow people. The snow people. Invasion of the snow people of 2011.
Not necessarily a bad dream, but it is like a weird kind of dream.
This is funny. That's the first time I've ever heard Pink Floyd play this porn music.
She keeps looking at me whenever I bring up Gala, and she's like, what the hell am I going to do for 3 days with all these geeks?
This is Sam Stone, and you're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Happiness Patrol. We're glad that you can join us again for another week of fun-filled excitement and Doctor Who tidbits. Today, we don't have two of our main cohort. Leela, help me on this
cohorts.
One. Thank you, Leela. Leela S, everybody. Yay, Leela S. How you doing?
Thank you.
How you doing, Leela?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm trying to do good. So we'll see. We'll see how handicapped we are today because we don't have Tara and we don't have Dale. Dale is up in Scotland with his folks, and he's up there on vacation. So apparently the internet is a little spotty around there, way up in the Highlands, I guess. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. I have to ask him exactly where he's at. So, but anyway, and Tara is feeling a little under the weather too, with all the crazy blizzard stuff going on up there for the snow folks. I just call them the snow folks. Since I live down in Orlando, I call them the snow folks because, you know, right now I've got on a long sleeve shirt and it's only 60 degrees outside, and I'm Leela. But you're doing okay.
If it was like 60 degrees out here, I'd be in t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops,
running
and it
around,
would be wonderful.
Running around with a sprinkler, right?
It got up to like 36 yesterday, and I was in a t-shirt. It was wonderful.
Oh, you're nuts. But you're a snow bunny, and I understand that. And I totally understand and appreciate that, okay? So you should totally understand my aversion to any kind of weather that's under 60 degrees. So, but let's not dilly-dally. Let's get this show on the road, shall we? We've got a few things to talk about. And we've got a fantastic interview with Mr. Stephen Shapansky of Radio Free Scaro. He's going to tell us all about the pitfalls of running a podcast and doing a weekly podcast for over 5 years. Did you know that they've been doing a podcast for over 5 years every week, Leela?
Wow, I didn't know they've been going on that long.
Mm-hmm. They certainly have. So, so like I said, let's not dilly-dally because the Happiness Patrol starts right now. There is something news-wise here. Apparently, according to the Doctor Who, DoctorWhoNews.net, A Christmas Carol, the soundtrack details are out, and let me see, what does it say? It says, Silver Screen have released the cover art and track listing for the soundtrack to A Christmas Carol. The album is originally due to be released in the UK on the 21st of February. But now has been delayed till March 21st. So they threw it back a month. So March 21st, A Christmas Carol will be out. And I know, Leela, you're a big fan of Murray Gold and the music that he does for Doctor Who.
Yeah, I would just please suggest to the BBC that they actually release the Season 5 soundtrack in the U.S. because I'm sick of waiting for it. It's still not out here. and it makes me sad. And well, I really want the Christmas episode sound, you know, the Christmas soundtrack, but I want season 5 as well.
Well, I'm looking at the soundtrack cover art and track listing. Apparently, there's 29 tracks on here.
I know, that's a lot.
And, yeah, it looks like it might be good. It says the music is, let me see, it's all Murray Gold and performed by the BBC National Orchestra of Wales. And it looks good. It looks like it might be really good. So
and it does include the song performed by Catherine Jenkins.
So oh yeah, yeah.
That's always awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was pretty amazing. Even though I'm not a big opera fan at all. You know, but her voice is undeniable. It's like, you know, I couldn't just justifiably, you know, stand here and go, oh, I don't know if I like Catherine Jenkins. You know, nobody who likes music can say that they don't like Catherine Jenkins because her voice is so amazing.
I remember on The Confidential when they brought her in to record her song. Murray Gold was just amazed by her and said, you know, her first take was just as good as a lot of people's finished product.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like the finished product, her first take was just that.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to that, but we're going to have to wait till March, until 21st of March. I wonder why they had to set it back. Who knows?
They delayed the 2009 special soundtrack as well.
Oh, they did?
Well, like, you know, back in when it was supposed to be released in 2009, I remember they pushed it back a month as well.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why they keep pushing them back.
Maybe there's, like, legal things they gotta do.
Probably.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. So. Oh, I got some feedback the other day from Mr. Adam Pearson of the 20 Megabyte podcast. I don't know if you've heard that or not, Leela.
I haven't.
He has a nice little podcast that he does with his daughter, and I can't. They're from England, but I can't remember exactly where they're from. But he actually sent us some little feedback, and you'll hear it now.
Hi, Lewis, Tara, Dale, and Leela. It's Adam here from the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I just thought I'd take this opportunity to send you in some audio, because every time I listen to your show, I feel like I'm sort of eavesdropping on a little bit of naughtiness, basically. I absolutely adore listening to your show, and my eyes or ears light up. Can ears light up? I don't know. Every time my iTunes sort of tells me that the Happiness Patrol is downloading. And thank you for regularly producing shows at least once a week, because I don't know what I'd do without you. Keep up the brilliant work. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's so nice.
Isn't that nice? So, Adam, thank you so much for taking time and sending in a little info like that. We appreciate any feedback. So if you've got feedback, you know, please, you know, send it on, whether it's audio format like Adam, or if you just want to send us a little note saying that you want to hear whatever you want to hear, because we're open here at the Happiness Patrol. So send us an email. That's at the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. If you want to go and check out Adam's podcast, that's the 20 Megabyte podcast. He originally tried to do a podcast that's under 20 megabytes. So it was a little easier and faster for people with, you know, yesterday's technology to download it, you know. So there you go. See, I encourage you all to go out and, you know, take a listen to it and tell me what you think. And also say hello to Alicia, his daughter, because she is a hoot when she's on there. So welcome to our special segment, our countdown to Galley. As you have been listening for the past few weeks, since the 9th of January, we have decided, you know what, we're going to have a little segment on the Happiness Patrol called the Countdown to Galley. And sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't, sometimes we just pick a subject that may be pertinent to you, the convention goer for the first time. Going out to California, trekking out to California to get all geeky for about 3 or 4 days with a lot of fellow geeky fans. So anyway, today we're very lucky because we have one of the hosts of Radio Free Scaro, Mr. Stephen Schepansky. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you very much, Lewis. And you got my name right. You almost stumbled. Oh,
I almost stumbled. I can edit that. I'll edit that.
It before we recorded. Yeah, I know. No.
Steven Shabansky. So that'll work. So so how you doing, buddy?
Not bad, you?
I'm hanging in there. Looking forward to heading out to L.A. It's actually coming quicker and quicker. I'm telling you, every day I wake up, I go, okay, did I do this? Okay, I got to make sure I remember to do this, you know. I just have this terrible, terrible fear. I'm going to get out to L.A. Before I get out to L.A., I'm going to be on the plane, and I'm going to be sitting there thinking and going, oh, shit, I forgot to pack this or whatever. So, but
yeah, mm-hmm. I'm beginning to panic more and more each day. Because as I recorded this, what is that, like 3 weeks or something like that away?
Uh-huh.
I think I might even do a test pack tonight just to make sure I can get everything in, you know, because, I mean, I have to separate it. There's a lot of stuff that we need for the podcast that I have to sort of put in the carry-on. So I have to sort of divvy up what I'm going to put in the carry-on and what's going in the checked bag. I mean, you know. Three weeks in advance, and I'm doing a test pack. This is what it's come to. But
so what's really cool about this year's galley is that for podcasters, and the reason I wanted to have you on is I wanted to introduce other people who may not listen to Radio Free Scaro. There's podcasters out there. A lot of you may be familiar with Lewis Schipani and Ken Deep of Podshock. We've had them on a couple of times here on the Happiness Patrol. But it's funny because podcasters are a friendly bunch and a very opinionated bunch, mind you, which is kind of cool that they're friendly too. So that's a good thing. But podcasters will help out other podcasters. You know what? Come on my show. If you're not getting as many listeners as you think you might, you know, come on up here and tell us what you're doing, that sort of stuff. So tell me just a little bit. Give me your elevator speech of what is Radio Free Scaro and why should people who are Doctor Who fans be listening to it?
Well, it's amazing when I think about it because I don't consider us an old or veteran podcast, but I think we actually started Warren Fryme. Fellow co-host and I sort of started thinking about it back in April of 2006, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally got it off the ground in about August of that year. And apart from Podshock, it's us basically who have been around the longest. And we're coming up to like 5 years in August, and it just doesn't seem that long,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, there's three of us, myself, Warren, and Chris, a weekly podcast. We've pretty much every single week for 5 years. This is the amount of, I think we're up to 230 some episodes now, something like that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I know. Crazy, eh?
As a weekly podcast. You know, I can feel your pain, buddy.
Well, yeah, you guys never take a week off. I actually figured this out. The last week we took off was, I want to say, almost literally 3 years ago, like mm-hmm. this week, like the last week of January of 2008. Uh-huh. We said, you know what, we're going to take a week off. We have done at least one episode, sometimes more, like at Gallifrey, a week for 3 years solid. Anyway, so we're prolific. We've had a few interviews over the past little while too, like Murray Gold and Dan Hall and Phil Ford. And you know, we're basically a lighthearted little podcast that talks about the news and such like that, as well as various features. We do commentaries the odd time as well. Right now we're doing a little segment called the Miniscope, where we sort of randomly draw the name of a creative person behind the scenes, be it director or producer or writer or something like that, uh-huh. and sort of like talk about his or her contribution to Doctor Who. You know, it's very important for people behind the scenes to sort of have their due, because they work on the show from basically beginning to end, especially writers. Like they think of the idea, they live the idea for about a year to get this thing made and through the rewrites and everything. So they know their story back to front. Whereas actors, you know, they'll be on the set for like 3 weeks or something like that, and that'll be it. And, you know, you try and talk to an actor about, hey, do you remember making The Brain of Morbius 30-odd years ago? He says, no, I don't. What 3 weeks for those, you know? So... So we sort of focus on the production side of things on Radio Free Scaro, but we have a good amount of fun doing so.
Now this year at Galley, you guys are doing something that no other podcast has done, and that is you're actually going to be having a little Radio Free Scaro in 3D. You're actually going to do a live show. And, you know, and it's no laughing matter when we call Louis Trapani the Podfather.
Because
he really is. They do it, and they do it really well. But you guys are actually going to have a show this year. Now, tell me a little bit about that and how that came about.
Well, actually, it was I hope Ken doesn't mind me saying this, because it was really strange. Sean Lyon, who runs the convention, sort of recognized, because we enjoyed it so much. This is going to be our third year coming up. Uh-huh. And we went in 2009 and enjoyed it so much, and we started sort of plugging the hell out of it and you know, talking up Gallifrey a lot of the times. And then last year, in 2010, we actually did daily podcasts. Like, we churned out an episode a day for five straight days with interviews and everything else. And sort of, you know, we've been sort of bigging up Galley. And I think Sean sort of recognized how enthusiastic we were for it.
Uh-huh.
And then the months after Galley 21 went by, and then Ken deep drops me a line on Facebook. I think, I can't remember when it was now. It was around September, I think it was. And he says, oh, you guys are getting the live show too. And I go, huh? So I tried to play coy, thinking, oh yes, you know, I was really, and then he sort of felt bad, and think, oh no, they let the cat out of the bag, because Sean was talking to me, and he said, yeah, they're going to put you on a live show and stuff on Friday afternoon or something like that. So I sort of finally waited for Sean to sort of come around, and, you know, a couple weeks later, he said, hey, guess what? We're going to put you on a live show. And I said,
wow,
really? Goodness me, what a surprise! Yeah, so. So it's thanks to him that we're actually doing this, because right. we hadn't thought of it really before, but uh-huh. But we're really game to do it, and we're doing the same thing, sort of focusing on the production side, like I said, about how, you know, we're having it's a 90-minute show at 2 p.m. on the Friday at in Program Hall B. Uh-huh. With Gareth Roberts, Clayton Hickman, Joss Agnew, who's directed Sarah Jane Adventures, and Phil Ford, who's been on our show a few times, and James Moran. They're going to be our guests, with perhaps one or two little things we're working on yet will be a part of the show. But
Cool.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it, though.
Wow, that'll be cool. So that's going to be 2 p.m. on Friday.
Yes.
Okay, so Friday at Galley, 2 p.m., and look around for it, and make sure you carry your little program with you and a marker. We were talking about that last week, how important it is to carry around your marker and highlighter and mark things that you need to go see, because you know what? You get talking with people, you get drinking. Sometimes you may forget exactly where you're supposed to be and when you need to be there. So cool. I'm so excited that you guys are doing that, because it's sort of like, well, hopefully maybe it'll open up the door for other smaller podcasts, like maybe the Happiness Patrol. Actually, the only thing we're doing this year is we're like you said, you know, taking some promotional material and, you know, getting the word out and that sort of stuff. We've got ribbons this year, thanks to Tara.
Everyone's got ribbons.
Everybody's got ribbons.
We're not getting ribbons, I don't think, but everyone else, it's just, I saw on Twitter over the past couple of days, our ribbons are in, you know. There'll be no shortage funny. Of ribbons.
Yeah. I tell you, it's a ribbon party. I was having a conversation with somebody, you know, and they were like, what's the deal with all these ribbons? I go, you know what? If you don't get a lot of ribbons, don't feel bad. But if you do get a lot, feel great, because they're sort of like a popularity contest in a way, because all these people are running around trying to get ribbons, as many ribbons as they possibly can. So it's pretty silly, but, you know, it's all in good fun. But this year, I think, I don't know, what I did is, I decided, you know what, we need to have some sort of like little event. And I was thinking, what kind of event can we do to promote the Happiness Patrol? And I thought, you know what, what's happier than the dance party? You know, they have their little dance thing yep. every year. And I went to it the past 2 years in a row, but there's hardly anybody there. And I'm thinking, come on, people, dance. It's a dance, for crying out loud. You know, it's like if you go into any of Louis Trapani's Second Life meetings, yeah, it's like having a DJ there, except you don't have to, you know, mess with your icon. You can actually dance yourself, so that's a good thing. I don't know if some people are more comfortable dancing in Second Life. I know I'm not. So...
I don't think I'd be comfortable dancing in the third life if there was one.
So what we decided, we just decided, you know what, we're just going to time crash that and have an event on top of an event. And basically, it's just a meet and greet. But you know, who knows? We can have some dance and we can have some fun. It'll be great. But it's just a way for people to come out and say hey to the Happiness Patrol and dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind. Because if your friends don't dance, well, never mind. So anyway.
It's a Canadian band, too, by the way, for what it's worth, Men Without Hats.
So. Oh, listen to me. I wasn't even sure about that. So is Loverboy, you know. But, you know, then again.
Just don't mention them.
So is William Shatner, but, you know.
we're proud of the Shat up here.
Okay? I'm going to be high.
So, yes, by then.
Yes, exactly. You know, he's coming to MegaCon this year in Orlando.
Is he really?
Yeah, in March. So, like, as soon as I get back and over my con crud, I'm sure I'm going to be marching my happy ass out to the convention center to MegaCon to see if I can meet Captain Kirk. I've never met him, and it might be kind of cool. So we'll see. So, but anyway, back to the interview.
Yes.
So how long have you been going to the convention this as far as not, you know, necessarily taking an active part, but just going as a fan? I mean, how many years has it been for you?
Just three. Three the first years? One was 2009. Well, we pretty much went there expressly to sort of podcast, so to speak. We haven't been there before as fans. And back then, we were on a podcasting panel. Us and Tachyon TV and Podshock, the year before Podshock was the first and only podcast to actually show up at a convention. Right. 2009, there was three of us. Last year, what was there, 10, 11, 12, you know?
Oh, man, a lot of people showed up.
And a lot of people are showing up. I think even more showing up this year. And two aren't even making it. There's nobody from Tachyon TV able to come this year. And David Huey from Who on Who won't be able to make it there. But there's still a ton of podcasters coming there. Yeah, so there'll be no shortage of people coming around.
Well, it's pretty interesting. Now, I know a lot of podcasts. You know, podcasting is so strange because as far as as a radio celebrity, I always think of people who are in radio as kind of smarmy anyway.
Well,
commercial radio, I guess I should say. And, but it's funny because podcasters, boy, they're all very, very passionate about what they do. They're very, very passionate about their subject, or else they wouldn't do it, you know, like you said, every single week. And but it's interesting to see how many newer podcasts are out there and how many are going to make it. You know what I mean? Because, I've seen a few, you know, come, and I'm thinking, oh, that'll be kind of cool. I need to listen to these guys, you know. And then by the time I get to listen to them, I'm like, where the hell are they? Oh, this is the last one they put out. I was kind of thinking that the Oodcast may be falling to the sidelines there, but I guess they've made a triumphant comeback.
Well, see, the thing is, Lewis, not everyone is like you or I, and they feel the need to churn everything out, you know, once a week.
Yeah.
Which, you know, every time I see that, oh, they're going to take a break. God, why didn't we do that? You know, yeah, the Oodcast sort of they took a break for a little while. I mean, some podcasts do that. Some podcasts sort of it's admirable in a way when they sort of say, okay, we're going to do this, and when it's, you know, Doctor Who's not on, we're going to take a break for a couple months or something like that, as opposed to some that might just rush out of the gate and say, we're going to do everything. And then, 3 weeks into it, they realize that they are spent, you know. It took them a week and a half to edit the first podcast or something like that. Imagine that's how most of them sort of come up. You know, there's an episode or two and then they're done. You never hear from them again.
Well, the other thing is when you have co-hosts, you have partners that you're coming on. These are your friends. These are friends that you like to talk Doctor Who with, and once a week you can do it, and it's really a lot of fun. Whether you get anything worth a damn on your recorder or not, you still have a lot of fun doing it, and that's the great thing. And I was going to ask you the people that you host with, how many of them are local? Are they just all over or what?
Well, we originally were based in Edmonton. I'm still here in Edmonton, Alberta. Warren, we've all sort of been here. I never knew Chris until much later. I knew Warren because I worked with him at a TV station in the early part of the 21st century.
Right.
Which is where we got the idea for the podcast. But we never actually were met, all three of us in the same room until Galleon in 2009. Nowadays, Warren is off in Vancouver. He was in Tokyo and Beijing. And Chris is now in Nova Scotia, which is in the far east coast of Canada. He was in London before that for a couple times. So we're all over the place now.
Wow.
We're doing what you do. You have to sort of deal with the time
absolutely
changes and everything else. And how many time zones you guys got to go through?
We've got three. Sometimes we have four. I mean, we have the four of us who host, every week, and we're in three different time zones. And Dale over in Brighton is, of course, 5 hours ahead of me, and I'm Eastern time. And and then we've got the two girls are in Mountain time, so Lila and Tara are in Mountain time. And quite honestly, it can be a hassle because it's like, not only do you have these time zones to take in consideration, you also have to take into consideration people's, normal schedule. I know Tara is a late night kind of gal. She likes to stay up late. Early mornings, she does not do early mornings. So Lila, will go to school. Sometimes she's working, sometimes she's not. She's 19, so she can go on 2 hours of sleep and everything's cool. Yeah. So she's pretty good. She's the most energetic one. But Dale works overnights. Plus, he's 5 hours ahead of us, and so it's very difficult. So, quite honestly, I try to schedule our time around Dale because he's very knowledgeable about Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. He's very funny and very personable, and a huge success to or a huge part of the success of the Happiness Patrol for sure. But what's funny is that we also have our correspondents. Now, our correspondents, whenever they join us, we've got one in California. We've got one in Chicago, and we have one in New York. So it's like if we really have a couple of our correspondents on, we can have all four U.S. time zones plus England. So it's crazy. It absolutely is crazy. So, but we get past it, and it's worth it because, we're all talking about something that we really love. And that's why Galley is so amazing, because once a year we can all get together, as Kendeep likes to say, our once a year friends. Uh-huh. We can get together and hang out in the same time zone and actually be able to talk face to face and have a drink and share a meal, and it's great. It's really, really fantastic. And I think that's as much of the success as the formula of the success for Galley, that is it more than just about anything else. I mean, you could have David Tennant there and Matt Smith as your guest, and that's cool. But you know what? I'm gonna get to see Tara. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. We hung out. I think I might have went to one panel last year, and that wasn't really for very long. For the most part, I was just hanging out with friends I had mm-hmm. met last year. In Gallifrey. And we met a whole bunch of new guys like David Huey and Chip from 2 Minute Time Lord, who's a good friend of ours. He's helping us actually on our live show. He volunteered the second he heard that.
Oh, great!
Which just speaks to the whole community flavor of not only the convention but sort of the Doctor Who podcast thing. Uh-huh. We all just sort of get along, and it's fun to sort of trade info on how each records their show and how much editing goes on and this
trade
and that
secrets.
And trade secrets, so to speak.
Trade common knowledge. So, but it's also pretty cool that every podcast has a different way of doing things. I like to record on my little Zoom. I use it as an outboard recorder. I don't mess with my computer. If my computer is Skyping, I'm going to let it do one thing and one thing well, and that's Skype.
Right.
And then I'm going to record on my Zoom, and then I will pop it out and edit it all together after I'm done. And I want to ask you a personal question. How many hours of when you guys record, how long do you usually go? Like an hour, 2 hours, what?
It depends. We usually try and aim for about an hour. I shouldn't say aim, but that's usually how long it takes for a standard episode. I'm not talking about the commentaries, because the commentaries go as long as the episode you're commentating on. You can't necessarily shorten it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny, actually, the ones that are probably the shortest are the ones that are on while Doctor Who is on the air.
Uh-huh.
Because we're busy, we do our review, and we're sort of like so excited to get the thing out that, we're all just talking at pretty much a fast rate. Because the thing airs in England on the Saturday. We record on the Sunday morning, hopefully, preferably. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it's, once we're done recording, it's out like 2 hours later. So it's,
wow.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of editing. We never did editing a lot in the early days. So uh-huh. We just sort of learned to, you know, if you don't want to say it in the podcast, don't
right.
say it.
Don't say it. We're right. not gonna
edit it. And that wasn't like an actual, it wasn't conscious by any means. I mean, it's just that.
But after 5 years of doing it, you sort of.
Yeah, you know, you just sort of pick up on it. We just sort of assume it was going to be live, right. so to speak. We just didn't know. What? You mean we can edit these things? So. they go on for about that long. The ones at Gallifrey vary because we do interviews with all the people there. Why not? They're there. It's fun to talk to. It's a bit mm-hmm. of a buzz. It's just to sort of sit there and say, yeah, I'm going to talk to Nick Briggs today, you know? I met Graham Harper last year. Graham Harper, who directed Caves of Androzani.
I saw him last year. He always seemed to be in a hurry to get in from at point A to point B, so I never got a chance to actually talk to him. So.
See, I made it a point of making sure, because he's been my idol. I mean, if there's anyone at Doctor who's been my idol, it's him, because I saw Caves of Androzani and said, this is what I want to do for a living. I want to direct. I want to be a TV director. I actually went mm-hmm. to college for it and everything. Uh-huh. I'm not a TV director today, but the appreciation for that stems more or less from four Doctor Who episodes from 1984, and so to talk to Graham Harper there for, you know, 28 minutes, even though then once his time was done, he looked at his watch and says, "I'll give you five more," and I said, "Oh, this is best nice. Time I could ever have." You
that's
know,
that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, and it's there on the podcast to listen to. So it's uh-huh. it's a really cool. Cool thing to do.
Funny.
To go to Gallup podcast.
So you guys don't put a time limit on your podcast. It's like whatever you do, that's what goes out. Is that correct?
Well, I don't like it to ramble. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, it's one thing to be long. I mean, Podshock, for unfairly, in my opinion, sort of gets chastised for being like too long. Like, you know, some episodes are 90 minutes.
Right.
But I think the two of us, both, I think maybe Podshock and us are probably the last of the old school, so to speak, in that we just sort of do a magazine style kind of podcast where mm-hmm. it's sort of like, it's not just us talking about one topic for the whole show. It's, you know, we'll do news, we'll talk about this, and there might be like a feature thing, like our Miniscope here for Podshock, they'll do an interview or something like that, or mm-hmm. or you know, leading up to Matt Smith's Regeneration or David Tennant's Regeneration, they sort of reviewed all the Regeneration stories in the past and such like that. So, I mean, if you're talking about several different topics, it can add up to be about 90 minutes. But it's more or less like two or three different shows, so to speak, because it's three or four different topics that add up to be one show. One thing we don't want to do is sort of go on for like 2 hours about a story that was only 45 minutes on TV. I mean, that's, you know, that should never happen.
You would think. Yeah. But another thing is that's quite interesting is when you're doing topics like that, you know, and there's some weeks in news, there's all kinds of things going on, and some other weeks there's just nothing,
yeah.
nothing. I mean, and you do, you know, like once a week. How do you keep one of those slow weeks up to snuff, so to speak?
Well, this is where the sort of, you know, like the Miniscope, I keep bringing that up, but those little things that's sort of running, not a theme, running theme, sort of a running series of things that we do, it's uh-huh. it's sort of, it helps. Because I know in the past before we did this, we would sort of look at the news, because there's three things on the news list, and it's Friday, you know. What did we do? So it's no longer much of a panic anymore, thankfully, until we run out of people to talk about in the Miniscope, and at which point we're screwed. But so it's good that we have that sort of as a standby. But I remember in the early years, and I've listened to some of the older ones where mm-hmm. we don't have much to talk about, and you can tell we don't have much to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting too, because like I wasn't sure if you did it like, you know, every other week or once a week or what. But you're telling me that it's a weekly thing. Thank God you don't edit. You know, because that would just, I, you know, to me, I do all the editing here. I record it and I do all the editing. I know that you guys have a habit, I think it was you guys that I overheard this, that when you do record, each of you record separately So in case there's a dropout somewhere or somebody's computer crashes, you have a backup. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. I don't think we're the only ones that do that. I think Flashing Blade does it. I think the Doctor Who podcast does it as well. Others are lucky enough, like Staggering Stories and a Nudecast. They mm-hmm. record in the same room. It's wonderful to be able to do that. Obviously, we don't have that option. Uh-huh. I think the neat thing is that we all got MacBooks. I got one relatively late. The other two have had them for years, but we all got the same microphone as well. So it's not only recording our same track, but it's uh-huh. recording it on the same equipment. So there's no real, you know, you can't really tell the difference between two nice mics and say one that came out of like a, you know, a cereal box or something.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's important, I think, to do that. And it's also, golly gee whiz, how do you say this without offending anybody? I think it's very important to edit, simply because, my aim when I first started this podcast, I really wanted to do something that was like, okay, 45 minutes should be the max. Okay, yep. Where are people going to be listening to this? Where's the final product going to be? Is it going to be somebody sitting at home listening to it on the computer? Are they going to download it, put it in their iPod, go exercise, you know, or something like mm-hmm. that? Are they putting it in their car so every day when they have an hour commute, they can listen to it, you know, that sort of thing? Louis Trapani actually turned me on to that. He goes, you know, a lot of people, it's an hour to work and it's an hour back from work to home. And so if we go 2 hours or 90 minutes, it's like a magazine format. And, you know, they can listen to it, you know, at the beginning of the day and get their who fix.
Right.
Techie on TV, there's your plug. and then, like, you know, at the end of the day, they've had a shitty day or whatever at work, you know, they can get in their car. Boom. There's the gentle voice of Ken Deep and Louis Trapani, you know, taking you home, you know, and it's a really cool thing. It's a very cool thing. I, on the other hand, was like, you know what? I don't listen like that. And when I listen to Podshock, it's almost like, the longer podcast. When I listen to the longer podcast, it's almost like watching porn. I'm sitting there with the fast forward. I got to get to the good things, you know, the bits I like. So it's really interesting because even though I love some of their some of the longer podcasts, you know, because I can get lost in it if I'm really interested in what they're saying. I can get lost in it. And then other times I'm just like, I can listen to the first 5 minutes of a podcast and go, there's really something I need to be doing now. but you know, and that's not saying, you know, well, maybe it is saying, you know, I mean, we're all opinionated. We all have our own particular likes and dislikes. But quite honestly, I like podcasts to be, you know, direct to the point and fun. Most likely, you know, more than anything, fun. I need to have something fun to listen to. If these guys are going to be fun and maybe they don't say that much, you know, I can listen to it, you know, right. and say, okay, they were fun. I'll listen to it again. But if they go on and they just, you know, go on with minutia or if they're overly negative, I've heard people tell me that if there's a podcast that's overly negative about something, they won't listen to it at all.
Oh,
because
yeah.
they don't want to hear their hero trashed. They don't want to hear any bad thing about David Tennant. They don't want to hear any bad thing about the Brigadier or whatever. You know, they don't want to hear any bad things about, oh, I don't know, Colin Baker, because Colin Baker is their favorite doctor. And it's really difficult when you have a podcast and you're trying to talk about things like that to be objective. I mean, because everybody's so very subjective to it because they're so very passionate about it. You know what I mean? Have you had any feedback or trouble with that sort of thing?
Well, you know what? It's I think it's important to be. If you're going to be negative about something, uh-huh. at least sort of back it up. And I'm pleased to say that a lot of the comments where we get were, oh, you hated this, you know, but, well, you actually justified it by saying this and this and this. You actually made, you know, valid points as to why you didn't like it. We all hated The End of Time Part 1. I still think it's probably the easily my top three worst episodes of Doctor Who ever made. This is dating back to 1963. I think it's just terrible. it's one of the few episodes that actually made me angry. And it was one of our shorter podcasts ever because we were just so livid at it that we just kept going on about it. And we got a lot of flack over that.
You were being honest, and we were telling you, backing it up.
We weren't just saying, "Oh, that sucks. Move on." You know, "Oh, it's David Tennant. Well, of course he sucks. Uh-huh. Let's just move." You know, we did our best to back it up and such. And I think people gradually sort of appreciated that.
So basically, it was like we didn't like End of Time Part One because this and this.
Yes.
And this. Yeah.
It's much more heated than that, but yeah, that's we'll take.
Yes, I can understand. We get pretty heated here too. So go ahead.
Oh, I've heard. Tara's not in the room today.
That's a good thing. To have Tara and Dale and Leela on, you know, they keep you from babbling as much.
They don't get you. You don't get a word edgewise with them, do you?
Not with Tara. I have to actually. I actually have to force myself back into the conversation or try to steer it onto track. And, you know, most of the times, I mean, and I make fun of them, because, you know, but I love them all. Each one of them are like my brother and sister. And it really has come down to that. And we've only been doing it for a year. I mean, I can't even imagine what the relationship must be like between you guys.
We're very familiar with each other. It's like an old married couple or not a couple anymore, obviously, but
well, it's like I tell people, being in a band, if you're in a band and you toured at all and you've gone on the road with each other, or hell, just played in town with everybody and practice, you know, twice a week or something, you become like a married entity, simply because. And it's worse because you're not just worried about the feelings of your wife, quote unquote. You're worried about the feelings of your drummer, your bass player, and your keyboard player. You know, it's dynamics that you have to really take into account when scheduling and trying to be happy. But if everybody is, you know, enjoying what they're doing, it shouldn't be a big deal at all. The rest is just little namby-pamby stuff, quite honestly.
And the great thing with us is that, like, all three of us edit. Or, like, you know, oh, this week I'll do the show or something like that, and then the next week Chris will do the show, and then after that. So we're all, like, capable of doing
whatever
needs to be done.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like one person is feeling the burden of, you know, of the whole show. So that's another handy thing.
Stephen. Now I've got your secret. Now I know why you can do a weekly podcast for 5 years. That's amazing. That is
no
really
burnout,
nice.
Man.
No burnout at all.
Once every 3 weeks, we edit a podcast ourselves. So
oh,
there you go.
Wow. That's cool. Well, thank you, Stephen, for being a part of the Happiness Patrol this week.
Thank you very much for having me, Lewis. I look forward to meeting you at Gallifrey.
Cool. I think I met you last year, but, you know, we were all running around like crazy. So
we talked for about 2 minutes after the podcast panel, and then life whisked us both away.
There you go. So if you're interested in Radio Free Scaro, go online and check them out. They're at radiofreescaro.com and check out their latest podcast. What are you guys talking about on your latest podcast?
Let's see, on this Sunday, the last Sunday in January, we have an interview with Simon and Thomas Garrier, who made the excellent documentary for the upcoming Mutants DVD box set coming out called Race Against Time. We'll have that, and we'll be talking about Keith Boak. If that's not a ratings poll, I don't know what is.
Cool. So we all look forward to it. So go out and take a listen to them and try it out, and tell them that the Happiness Patrol sent you, for crying out loud. FSFX. You know, I was talking to Leela on the phone the other day when I was in Barnes & Noble's, and I was in the magazine. Well, she called, and I happened to be in the magazine area.
Okay.
And what was it? I saw some sort of special magazine, SFX, you know, magazine. I can't say that, for crying out loud. I never want to say that again. But I saw it, and it was this big special Doctor Who thing. And it was in like a little kind of like a cardboard envelope.
Probably the one Tara was in.
I think maybe it was, because it had like a little bow tie included.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
a couple of pin badges, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, of course that was about it. But you know, they wanted like almost $20 for the damn thing. And I was like, I'm not, no thanks. But if that's the one with that's what I would like to know, if that's the one with Tara in it.
Yes, that is.
Because if it is the one with Tara in it, everybody go out and buy the damn thing. You know, because there's a Happiness Patroller in there. And if I'd known at the time when I saw it that there was a Happiness Patroller in the damn magazine, I would have bought it. I would have spent my $20, and that's how much I love Tara Wheeler. But I didn't know that at the time, and I was just thinking, $20, I'm going to spend $70 on these books I already have, so I can't afford $20 more. So I passed on it. But if I'd known, Leela.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there you have it. So. Well, that's about all the time we got now for this episode of the Happiness Patrol. Thank you so much, Mr. Steven Schepansky from Radio Free Scaro. We look forward to seeing you and having a drink with you at Galley. We will definitely be there. I don't think Leela will be drinking anything, will you, Leela?
No.
So if you're out there and you're at Galley and you see Leela, just say hey, but don't offer her a drink. Correct, Leela?
You can have one for me if that's
Oh, there you go. Like that, have a drink on Leela. So if you want more happiness in your week, and you can't stand going a week without hearing a little bit more of the Happiness Patrol, go to our blog spot, because you know we got it all there. And Leela, why don't you tell them how to get there?
You can check out our blogspot at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol and search us on Facebook.
And, of course, we are always available for free downloads off of iTunes. Just go search for us on iTunes, the Happiness Patrol podcast, and you'll see every single one of our podcasts right there, and they're absolutely free. And please feel free to leave a little review or a little comment down below, and that'll be good. It's always good for us to hear from you that way. And also, you can write us the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. So Leela, I guess that's it, huh?
I guess so.
No Tara, no Dale, just me and you. It's the Lewis and Leela show.
I know, but I miss our other cohorts.
I do too. You guys get well, and we'll see you. We'll see you real soon. Anyway, I'm Lewis B.
I'm Leela S.
I'm Tara W. And I'm Dale. No. Anyway, we'll see you guys next week on the Happiness Patrol. Bye.
Bye.
I heard that. Shut up.
I'm shutting up. Karen Gillan said, woo, and that's all. Because Karen Gillan is best at saying, woo. Have you ever noticed that? She likes to say
yeah.
it a lot. She likes
yeah.
to wave her arms. Basically, Karen likes to wave her arms and shout, woo. Woo,
yes.
I'm terribly excited.
You know.
So there you go.
And giggle.
And giggle.
She's crazy. She's nuts.
She really is. I mean, I'm thinking that woman is kind of a little out there, you know? Like, she's fun. Yes. Give her a shiny red ball and she'll be fine.
Oh, God.
Woo! Shiny red ball.
She was very nice when we met her, by the way.
Yeah, she was.
And intelligent.
Did she wave her arms?
No.
Got to reach for the speaker so I can record from the speaker into the microphone, like I'm making a cassette for my crush at high school or junior high. Right, aww. David?
So
I'm aww. Making a mixtape. Maybe she'll like Sad Eyes or any Leo Sayer tune.
Okay. Looks like it's over. You knew I couldn't stay. She's coming home.